in some way. Luke 12, verse 33 says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth doth corrupt. I want you to notice the first phrase there, sell that you have and give alms. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse number 22. Luke 18 and verse number 22. The Bible says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. I want to speak on this subject this morning, sell and simplify. Sell and simplify. This is a sermon that each one of you is going to have to process in your own mind on an individual basis with the Holy Spirit's direction, because all of us have a different financial picture. Now, I am not an expert on current events or financial patterns, but I do keep a little bit of an ear open to the news and on the radio and so on and so forth for events that are coming. And I believe that in the very near future for us, things are going to get harder and harder financially. And we are all going to have some struggles here very shortly. We are hearing about record gas prices by the end of April, that they will be higher than they have ever been in our history. And we know the oil prices in the barrels are just keep going up. This affects everybody and everything you buy. I think most of you are wise enough to know that whatever you buy from the store, whether it's a grocery store or department store or the mall or the clothing store or whatever, is transported to those stores by trucks. And the trucks, of course, have to run on diesel fuel, which will be even higher than gasoline. And some think that maybe by the end of April, diesel may even be close to $5 a gallon. So every trucking company is going to have to charge every store more to get their goods, and every store is going to have to charge more on their goods, food, clothing, building supplies, whatever it is you may need. All the prices on all the goods at all the stores is going to go up. All the restaurants will be charging more for meals because everything they serve is brought to them by fuel. And it's not going to be very long, and we're going to see record prices, or so they say. We as Americans are not drilling for oil offshore or on the land, and as a result, we have to buy most of our oil from other sources, and no pun intended, but they have us over a barrel when it comes to what they charge us. We are simply seeing in our country the economic principle of the law of supply and demand. There are many, many other countries that for the first time in their histories, they are beginning to own vehicles. A lot of your citizens, your normal citizens in China and Korea and India are owning automobiles for the very first time. And as a result, there is a tremendous demand for oil in China and oil in India and other countries. And there's only so much oil that's being refined to go, and so the demand is greater. And whenever the demand is greater, you know, in economics, the supply, if the supply is less and the demand is greater, the price is driven up. Those are just laws. They're not any kind of a punishment on you or I as Americans. It's just a fact that people are having cars, just like back in the 40s and 50s, we began in America to have cars in every home. In the 60s and 70s, two cars. In the 80s and 90s, three cars. And, well, the world's catching up, and they need oil. And so a lot of the oil is being diverted to those countries. Plus, we see in our country unemployment at 8%, and it's really higher, 9, 10, 12%, but many who were on unemployment have just quit trying to find jobs whatsoever. Our national debt is getting near $16 trillion. It's almost doubled in the last 3 years. We're hearing rumblings of the abilities to fund pensions and Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security drying up, which may produce a whole lot of confusion. And then, of course, we know when people are out of jobs and people do not have enough money to buy things, it's just another law, sadly. But crime goes way up. And a lot of people turn to crime and stealing things. Robberies go up and so on and so forth because of the needs. And so these are some times that are coming. I sure hope I'm wrong on all of this, but a lot of this is factual, and the chickens have come to roost in some areas in our country, and we're going to have to pay. Plus, it seems like our nation is turning its back on Israel, and that affects our finances too. The Bible says in Psalm 122 and verse number 6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." When a nation loves Jerusalem, and when a nation loves Israel, God promises that nation will prosper. You look around the world at the countries that hate Jerusalem and that hate Israel, and it's no coincidence they're very poor countries. They're not productive. Their land is not fruitful. But the Lord says they shall prosper that love Israel. And if we turn our backs on Israel, if we turn our backs on Jerusalem, it's going to affect all of us financially. You see, a lot of the financial blessing in the United States of America is not based upon the fact that we're somehow superior intellectually, because we're not. There's a lot of countries whose educational standards are by far exceed ours. Their students are by far smarter than ours. It's because God has blessed our country because we've been a friend to His bride, Israel. God does not reckon Israel among the nations. He says, "That is my wife, and whosoever touches Israel touches the very apple of my eye." And we seem to have a government that's turning its back upon Israel and its back upon Jerusalem at a time when they need us the most, when they are in despair over there and the threat of nuclear war and the so-called African Spring, which is mostly just an anti-Israel movement, and they are surrounded by a billion enemies, and there's only a few million of them over there, and they're surrounded by a billion enemies, and Iran seems to be having a lot of nuclear proliferation with trying to destroy the leader of Iran. Ahmadinejad has come to our country, and on our land he has said to us that he does not believe Israel has a right to exist. And man, we should have booted him out into the Hudson River as soon as he said that and said, "Swim home." In Genesis 12 and verse 3, God said way back in the beginning, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee." And he was talking about Abraham and the nation that he would form through that Hebrew. And you know, it went on to Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. We are cutting our military. We are reducing our nuclear warheads by 80%, from 1,500 down to 300. At a time when we should be strengthening our military, we're cutting back on the number of Marines. And the only area in our country where we're honestly making financial cuts is in the military. That's short-sighted. I'd rather they took something away from me and kept the military strong, because you don't have a strong military, I don't care what you have. If we're attacked on our land, we need a strong military. Now, honestly, I didn't come to talk about politics. Now, that was just my introduction. And just some things, and there's many other things, and a lot of you are much more astute than I am in finances, and you see the writing on the wall. Things are going to get harder for the average American, for the average church member, in just a few months. Things are going to get harder for us. What should we do? Worry and despair? No. Number one, I want to say this, pray and prepare. Pray and prepare. When we hear these things, oftentimes the American heart begins to worry because the American heart thinks too much about money. It's been said, this is a long time ago, but it's been said that the American spends about 80% of their thought life thinking about money and money matters. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay the car payment? How am I going to pay off my student loans? How am I going to get my education, my career? What am I going to do in the future? How am I going to make my mortgage payments? And how am I going to put gas in my car and groceries on the table this week? And about 80% of our mind is occupied with economic matters. Do you know the Lord said never to take one single thought about that? Now, he didn't mean to be imprudent. Financially, we ought to have a plan. We ought to work that plan. But he told us, don't you be worrying about that. This is not the time to worry and fear. In Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That means don't have anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, if you and I will become a praying people, worries tend to dissipate and disappear when a man or a woman begins to pray. And they begin to take their concerns and their requests and place them in the hands of an almighty God who is not affected by recessions. He's not affected by high gas prices. He's not affected by anything. And this almighty God is our God. And he wants us to go to him. And he said in the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 8, he said, the silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And it doesn't matter how bad an economy gets, a man or a woman who is in tune with God and are in trying to do God's will find the promise is true to this day, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have noticed in my life, and some of you have noticed in your life, that God oftentimes, because of our prayers, will supply our needs mysteriously, will supply our needs miraculously, or will supply our needs through ministry. Somebody in the ministry will see we have a need, and God will touch their hearts to help us out. Our God does mysterious things for people who pray. And I can't explain them from the pulpit today, otherwise they wouldn't be mysterious. But God can do mysterious things for you if you will learn to pray. And this is not the time to worry. This is the time to pray. Even if you're living on Easy Street right now, harder times are coming. I want to encourage you to learn how to pray in the good times, so you will know how to pray in the bad times. And if you learn to pray, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, I don't care if you're young or old, I don't care if you feel uncomfortable doing it or not, lock yourself in a room somewhere, someplace, all by yourself with your Creator, and let your request be made known unto God. That's what He has told us to do. It ought not to seemed to be a strange thing that one of his creatures should talk to his Creator. And you need to talk to your Creator. I don't care who you are, you young people, you teenagers, God can do mysterious things for you, miraculous things for you, and even ministerial things for you through the church. It's amazing. Have you ever had a mysterious thing? You know, there's an old saying, oh, God works in mysterious ways. He does. And a lot of times he just does that to remain anonymous. Did it ever dawn on you God is humble? Unbelievable. He's humble. But there's a lot of things he's done for people he's done anonymously. They couldn't figure out where it came from. It came from God. He does things mysteriously for us. He does things miraculously for us. There's a lot of people in this room that could stand up right now and talk about a time when they had a need and they went before the Lord and they prayed about that need and that need was miraculously supplied. You know, I feel sorry for those people who their only trust is in money when their trust could be in the Almighty. He is not affected by the economy or money or how big or small your paycheck is. He can do the miraculous for people. I just know that some of you have been sharing things downstairs in junior church, and I've been keeping update on it. It's just amazing the things God's done for some of you. Sometimes little things, sometimes big things. Back when I was 18, I quit playing trumpet. And I was in high school, and they said, you can't play in the band unless you're in the marching band. The marching band practices at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, man, you know, because I went to a school, Orchard Park, where football was like God. And I said, I am not getting up to play at 6 o'clock for the football team or for anybody else. And so I quit playing. And then I became a pastor when I was 26, and we had a fledgling church music ministry at the time, and got to be about 30 years of age. And I said, you know, we need some music and in this church, Lord, start praying about it, and we need some musicians and stuff. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, if you'll give me a trumpet, I'll play it for you for the rest of my life. Within 1 week, two people came up to me. All I had ever done was talk to God about it. I never talked to anyone else. Two people came up to me with two trumpets and said, Pastor Cole, do you by any chance need a trumpet? And I had two trumpets in 1 week's time, and I've been playing for the Lord ever since, you know, with those trumpets. And that's just amazing what God can do. And you know something? I don't think I've paid a cent for a trumpet in 24 years, and the ones I have keep getting better and better and better. I'm playing some really quality trumpets now. I'm not playing quality music, but I'm playing quality trumpets now that cost a lot of money. And I've never paid a penny for one. You see, God's not limited by your paycheck, how little it is or how big it is. If you'll get to know this God, and you lock yourself aside in a room somewhere, and every day of your life get on your knees and pray as God led us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, you'll start asking the Lord for things. He'll help you. And you know, a few years from now, you'll look back and say, what recession? Did I miss something? Did I miss something? Our God can provide. He provides through ministry. We talked about that a few weeks ago on hospitality, on the importance of coming to church. One benefit from coming to church all the time is eventually God will take somebody's eyes and focus them on you, and they'll start praying for you or praying for the one you know that has a need, or they'll identify your need, and they'll try to help you with it. I've seen men roof people's houses. I've seen men work on their electric and work on their plumbing at their homes and fix their cars and something, and they'd go to try to pay them, and they'd say, no, the Lord just wanted me to do this. And there's nothing wrong with paying them either, by the way, and we shouldn't use each other. But I've just seen God do that, and it's a blessing to see that happen, see how needs are often met through the church ministry. I want to say pray and prepare. Pray and prepare. Have a plan. Have a plan and work that plan. Back here in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 22, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither your body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? See, God, Jesus, when he taught, he was the master teacher. He used visual aids. And he said, look at the birds, look at the lilies. Doesn't God take care of them? Why are you worrying? You are more valuable to God than birds are. Consider the lilies, verse 27. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind, for all these things to the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Isn't that great? Nothing's ever occurred to God regarding you or me, but rather seek ye, verse 31, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want you to notice that. Do not worry and fear, but pray and prepare. Pray and prepare. And there's other scriptures besides these that talk about a prepared plan. I want to encourage you to do that with your finances. Have a budget. Live within your means. And if you don't know how to have a budget, there are people in this church that can help you humbly. They're not going to look down on you no matter how little you have. But I'll tell you something. When you get your financial life in order, that in itself will bring a lot of peace into your heart. When you know what you have, what has to go out, and how much you have left to spend, and you live by discipline within that budget, you will enjoy life better, and life will be better for you. You gotta prepare, pray and prepare. I want you to notice number two: sell and simplify. Look at the next verse. We read it earlier. After Jesus talked about trust in me, trust in God. Have faith in God. Put God first in your life and he'll take care of you. You are his child. He is your father. What kind of a father doesn't care for his children? And you got to quit trusting in your paycheck and your health and start trusting in the Lord. And then he says, sell. Sell. Verse 33, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. I want to encourage you to sell and simplify. As we read earlier, we won't turn there again, he said to that rich young ruler in chapter 18 and verse number 22, he said, you have one fault, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Sometimes we just got to take some of the stuff we have and sell it. Sell it and simplify our lives. Our lives have become too confused in America because of all the money and all the things we bought with it. And we ought to sell. And sometimes we can take what we sell and we can use it to help the poor. Or sometimes we can take what we sell and help it to use ourselves to get ourselves out of the hole that we're in financially. Now is the time for us to work on getting out of the hole that we're in financially. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We got ourselves a lady here who's really in a financial hole. In verse 1 it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Can you imagine that? I'm glad we don't live in those days. Well, you don't have any money? Give me your boys. That's what she was facing. And she was a God-fearing woman. Her husband was a prophet. He was a spiritual man, but somehow they got into a financial mess, and then he died. Sometimes even good people get into a financial mess. And I want you to notice the question. And Elijah said unto her, verse 2, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? That is a good question. What do you have in your house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in this house save a pot of oil. He said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell. Sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. I said earlier, God works in mysterious ways. There's not a human being that can explain this miracle. It's just the fact that God saw a needy woman and he met her needs in a miraculous way, but she had to take what was in her house first and give it to the Lord. And whatever she had, all she had was one pot, and he said, give that to the Lord and go borrow a bunch of others. And God started creating oil in all those pots, and then he said, sell what you have, pay off your debts, and live on the rest. And you know something? A lot of our houses are filled with stuff we don't need. And a lot of us are in some financial jams right now in our lives, and you need to sell what is in your house. I'm talking about things like entertainment. Do we need all this entertainment in our house? Do we need a country where our children are spending 46 hours a week with the media in some form, whether it's television, video games, internet, cell phone, texting, or whatever it is, 46 hours a week, and maybe an hour in church? Maybe. Maybe 2 hours in church? Can't we sell off that entertainment? Can't we cancel the DirecTV and the cable TV and all this internet access and all these really expensive cell phones and so on and so forth? Do we need these? Has this helped us on our journey to get closer to God? Has this helped us to prepare for eternity? Has this helped us to work for the Lord and win souls to Christ? I think not. I think it's caused too many people to have a delusional mind that cannot even discern between fantasy and reality. You go up to somebody nowadays and say, you realize you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, and you need to be saved, and they just think you're just as delusional as the stuff they've been watching on Oprah all week or whatever. Can't discern between reality. They have no idea of the danger that their soul is in as they approach eternity. It wouldn't help to sell off some of our entertainment. And some of you maybe have some habits and vices. Do you understand how expensive alcohol is today? Do you understand how expensive cigarettes are today? And how expensive gambling is today? The writer of the book of Proverbs says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Pleasure costs a lot of money. But praise the Lord, the Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And God can give you pleasures this world can never come close to giving you, and he doesn't charge you anything for it. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I'm having more fun now, I have more joy now serving the Lord than I ever had when I was living in sin and doing drugs and alcohol. Ever! I was so miserable back then. And man, you get rid of that stuff and you start saving money. I had thousands and thousands of dollars of sound equipment. And back then, you young people don't know what this is. We had records. And I just spent thousands and thousands of dollars on rock albums and everything. And one day I surrendered my life to the Lord. I took those things out to the road and I smashed them up and I made sure they threw them in the garbage truck so no other human being could ever get near them. And oh, happy day when the Lord set me free from rock and roll music and the things of this world and filled my heart with joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Sell and simplify. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 12. The Apostle Paul said this about his life, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you were. Notice these words, that we, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, we've had our conversation, our lifestyle. You know something? The simplest people are the happiest people. As I've studied Depression era marriages, and that man and that woman back in the Depression era would get married, and all they had was each other. Man, those marriages lasted forever. But we live in a day and age where so many married couples got to have a $25,000, $35,000 blowout wedding day, and the big limo, and the DJ, and all the music, and all that kind of stuff. And they got to have the nicest furniture, and the brand new home, and the brand new car as soon as they're married, and our marriages are crumbling. And they're not happy. There is not anything on earth you can buy that'll bring you happiness and lasting joy. And it'll be like that carrot dangling in front of that rabbit. You just keep chasing it and chasing it and just thinking, boy, if I just had more money, if I could just have a better house, if I could just have this, if I could just someday earn this, I'll finally find joy. You never will. You never will. There's only one thing that can satisfy you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He's the satisfier. And we need to sell, and we need to simplify. Maybe you can get a simpler car that gets better gas mileage. Maybe you can get a simpler home that's not elaborate, and you may have to step down. So what? Maybe you can wear simpler clothes. And I know this is un-American, but maybe you can have your kids wear simpler clothes. I don't know why the kids are leading our families these days. Boy, is it backwards. Dad, I got to have the nicest sneakers. Okay, son, let's go get them. Show me where they are. Not in my house. Man, it never worked that way. Why are the kids leading everybody? We got to simplify. And if you're smoking, now is a great time. I know some of you are struggling with smoking. God bless you. I love you. I really do. I'm praying for you. But that's an expensive habit. It not only costs you now, but later it's going to cost you. Gambling, people blowing their money all the time. Going out to restaurants all the time, mall shopping. Could you get a less expensive education? There's opportunities out there. Do you really need to take on more debt right now? Can you control yourself and not be influenced by commercials and gimmicks? Let me show you one of the most un-American verses in the Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. This is un-American. I'll probably get run out of the country reading this verse. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Boy, is that un-American or what? Having food and clothes, be content. We have so much in our country. And you can live a simple life with a thankful heart, and you'll think you're the richest man on earth. For godliness with contentment is great gain, verse 6. If you can be godly and content, you'll just say, man, I'm so rich. I feel like the richest man on earth sometimes. I hope you do too. Americans, we need to sell and to simplify. Did you know that's what, in a way, that's what Jesus did? I love this verse, and hang in there. I'm almost done, but I got another point to make here. But listen to this. Listen to what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus left it all. What did he own when he was here? When he was crucified, he owned one garment, and they gambled for that. That was it. He didn't even have a pillow. And he just simplified his life and served others. Listen, you know, if nobody's ever told you this, I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but a life that's lived for others is a life that'll bring you joy that no money or no possession can ever bring you, and satisfaction if you just live for others. If you want to feel like $1 million, try to help another human being. And then help another one. And then help another one. And then help another one. And help another one. And you'll go to bed every night saying, well, I feel like $1 million. I feel like the richest man on earth. Yeah, you will. We need to sell and simplify. And then number three, save and share. Save and share. Number one, pray and prepare. Number two, sell and simplify. And then number three, save and share. Don't forget, we got to save too. In Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse 16, it says this, a strong man retaineth riches. A strong man retaineth riches. One of the things that will help us men be strong is if we can hold on to our money. Hold on to your money. You're going to need it. Be careful. Be careful. All right? We're going to need it. We have in the average house today a food supply of 3 to 4 days. That's presumption. That's wrong. What if we had an earthquake around here? Or what if something came through? I don't know, tornadoes don't come through here much, but who knows? We need to get a month's supply of food in our houses, every one of us. We really do. Canned goods or something, in case something happens. I'm serious. We ought to think about that. I think it's presumption to have a 3 to 4 days of food supply. And water. Get about a month's worth of water in your house and just store it away somewhere. So that if something ever happened, you know, God forbid, but we may have an earthquake come through here or some kind of, something might disrupt service. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen in this world. Things might get really hard. I don't know. But we ought to save and also share. Save money. Start saving. Get out of debt. I know it might take you a while, but have a goal. Don't be discouraged today. Have a goal. I'm going to get out of debt and pay off my bills and pay off my credit cards and I'm going to live because, like I said, things might get harder here in the very near future, and you're going to be glad. You're going to be glad that you saved up for a rainy day, because I think we're going to have some rainy days here. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I love America. I really do. But it just seems like we've made, and maybe not you and I personally, but our governments on the state level, our governments on the federal level, have made just going to make it hard on our kids and our grandkids, I'll tell you. And we need to save. We need to save. Save up some money for a rainy day. Save up some and stash some around your house or something for a rainy day. Don't put it all in the bank. What if that closes up? You may need some to live on. I don't usually say these things, but I think it would be prudent. The Bible speaks about prudence, which is forethought. You think about the future and you plan now and you work your plan. And don't forget to share. God blesses giving people. He blesses giving people, even in the hardest of times. And Jesus said, and I'm going to close in prayer in a minute, but Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, God can't lie. And God said that if we'll take and find a poor person and then not let anybody see it, but we give him something. We don't make a show out of it. There's one person that'll see us do that, and that's God. And if we do it secretly, he'll reward us openly. It seems strange sometimes to give during financially difficult times, but sometimes it's the best thing you can do. In Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Remember that widow I talked about 10 minutes ago? Jesus, about 1,000 years later, would say she was the only one that miracle was done for. Why? She was the only one who sought God's help. She went to the man of God, the prophet, told him what the need was. It doesn't matter. We're not living in famine right now. We're not living in days like she was, where they were eating their own children. Do you understand? History is replete with examples of where it got that bad, where people ate other human beings. Imagine that. We're not in those days. But in days just like that, that lady looked to the Lord. And the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. Follow my plan now. You do exactly what I want you to do. She didn't say, what do you mean borrow vessels? That's stupid. What do you mean pour the oil? What oil? That's stupid. How is that going to work for me? She didn't say that. She just said, sons, whatever this guy says, you do it. And they began borrowing vessels and pouring on. Oil never stopped. And then there was so much oil in the house, he said, now go sell it, pay off your debt, and live on the rest, you and your sons. And her sons weren't sold for bondmen. Tithes, offerings, proving, I'll open up the windows of heaven. He did it for her in the hardest of times. He'll do it for you. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Look, that we use that as a text verse to show the importance of giving tithes and offerings to the Lord on an individual basis. But you know, in its context, it's not talking about individuals. It's talking about a nation. And God is saying to the nation of Israel through Malachi the prophet, he says, you want to know why your country's just about buried in debt? Because you quit honoring the Lord and giving him tithes and offerings. You want to know why our country's $16 trillion in debt? Well, it probably goes back about 50 years ago when we said, God, get out of the schools and take your prayer with you. We can make it fine without you. Boy, we've done well, haven't we? We've done well without God. But I believe if we would start honoring the Lord again, tithes and offerings, I'll bless your land, I'll rebuke the devourer, he won't devour your fields anymore. You can have God's blessing. Boy, we got to get back to tithes and offerings. We got to get back to loving Israel. Loving Jerusalem, helping the poor, these kind of things. But I want to encourage you today, in closing, don't just everyone's different. You got to process this yourself. I know I've been a little bit longer preaching than I usually am, but you got to pray and prepare. Take God into your life as your financial partner. Say, God, help me. And then you got to sell and simplify. We got to make some changes in our life. And not because we're giving up on the American dream, because there's a better life where we just simplify our lives and live and walk with God. And then take what we've saved and what we've sold. Don't just take what you sold and then say, good, let's go out to the mall and blow it on something else. No, pay your debts. Save up for a rainy day. Find a poor person worse off than you. Help them out a little bit. God's going to see all this. It doesn't matter how bad the country gets. God can see you doing right in his eyes, and he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. I know this is a different sermon, but I wanted to bring this morning maybe to try to relieve some of your fears, because if you're the average American listening to radio all week and watching TV all week, you're probably like, it's over. No, it's not over. It's just an opportunity for God to begin. Amen? To show his power. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us Lord, every one of us in this room has to live in the financial realm. There's not one of us who is exempt from it. But Lord, we know this is not the time to worry and fear when we see gas prices going up and everything tied to it. It's a time to pray to a God who wants us to make our request known, a God who's almighty, a God who said the silver and gold is mine, a God who can do mysterious things, miraculous things, or ministry things, touch people's hearts to help. Lord, you're such a great God. It's time for us to sell and simplify and just, Lord, I would say this too to anybody if we were in the glory days of America. I would tell them, look, simplify your life so you can serve the Lord without distraction. Sell, pay off your debts, give away things. Help us, Lord, to save and to share, to be a sharing people. Lord, I want to pray you just erase fears from our hearts today about what we're hearing every day in the news. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just